You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Nancy Ruffin Show. I am your host, Nancy Ruffin, and as always, thank you for checking in. Thank you for being here. I hope that your week has been productive. I hope that you got an opportunity to rest this weekend. I know there might have been a lot going on with Mother's Day and all, but especially for my mothers, I hope that you were able to spoil yourself a little bit. I hope that your loved ones had an opportunity to spoil you. I hope that you had an opportunity to do whatever it was that you wanted to do this weekend. Whatever that ideal state looked like for you, I hope that that was what was able to have manifested on your Mother's Day. It's so hard, you know, for us to carve out that time for ourselves because we're always on the go. And if you're anything like me, those, you know, those moments to ourselves are few and far between, but that's why it's really important that we become intentional about carving time out for ourselves, not just on special occasions like Mother's Day or like our birthday, but, you know, at least one day out of the week. And if we can't get the whole day, at least a couple of hours, carve out a couple of hours in your week where you are solely just focused on yourself, doing the things that really spark joy, whether that's reading a book, whether that's just indulging in a nice warm bubble bath, going to get a mani-pedi, sleeping, taking your own self out, you know, to have a nice meal in peace with no interruptions or disruptions, like whatever that ideal time looks like for you, be intentional about giving that to yourself because you deserve it. And you deserve it more than just on special occasions. We have to start prioritizing ourselves. And this is something that I have to constantly remind myself to do, because we automatically step into that nurturer role. And for me, at least in my household, you know, my kids, my girls, I'm the one that they're always looking for. Because since this pandemic, I'm the one that has been home with them 24 hours a day. And so for them, it's just kind of like a sense of comfort. So I have to be really intentional with telling them, like, mommy needs a break. Go ask your dad. Daddy loves you. He wants to be an integral part of your lives as well. And we don't want to rob him of those moments. Now, do we, girls? We want to give him an opportunity to step up, right? And so I have to constantly remind them, because if I leave it up to them, they're automatically, mommy, 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 coming, you know, to me for everything. And I will tell you, it is exhausting. And, you know, I love my baby girls. They are my greatest joy. They are my biggest prayer manifested. And I love being their mother, but it is really exhausting. You know, and so I am really intentional about making sure that I set boundaries on my own self-care time. So I hope that your Mother's Day was incredible. I hope that you were able to spend it surrounded by those that you love, you know, and I know that for so many other people, Mother's Day can be heavy. While so many of us are celebrating, there are many others who don't find the joy in this holiday, you know, for many reasons. Either they have, you know, difficult or estranged relationships with their own mothers. Maybe they struggle with feelings of abandonment, of not feeling wanted or loved. You know, the mother-child relationship is a special one. And for many, it's also a non-existent one, you know. So for those of you who are struggling with this day because you have an estranged relationship with your own mother, you are in my thoughts and prayers. And just know that regardless of what that relationship is like or looks like for you, you are worthy of love every single day. In spite of whatever that looks like with your own mother. And then there's another group, you know, of individuals, specifically women, who might be struggling because motherhood hasn't come to them yet. You know, there's so many women who struggle with infertility, who for whatever reason, that dream of becoming a mother has not manifested yet, you know. And later on in this podcast, I'm actually going to talk a little bit about my own journey and my own struggle with infertility. And just know that there's so many different ways to become a mother, you know. And so I know that we develop this idea in our minds on how we want that to happen for us, right? And I know that for me, I had wanted to experience the joy of pregnancy, of what it felt to grow another being in my body. And I had gotten so attached to the idea of pregnancy and detached from what it really means to be a mother. And I struggled with conceiving for many years. And then when I started to relinquish my own desire to control in the way that I would become a mother, that was when God answered my prayer, right? And so my prayer became, God, I am here, I am waiting, I am willing to become a mother by whatever means you make that happen, Lord. Whatever your will for my life is as it relates to motherhood, that is what I want for my own life. So I let go of this idea of solely becoming a mother through my own body. At that point, I had really opened up myself to become a mother through any means, through whether it was a surrogate, whether it meant that I had to adopt a child. You know, I was just open, because for me, what I realized was that I wanted to be a mother more than I wanted to be pregnant. And it took me some time, you know, to realize that, you know, and God knows the desires of our hearts, but we have to let go of trying to control the situation, because he is never going to forsake us when we come to him earnestly, when we come to him with an open heart, when we come to him in acceptance of his will for our life. That is when things start to happen. That is when we start to see his power actually move in our lives. So wherever you are in your own motherhood journey, trust that God hears your prayers. Trust that he is not going to forsake you. But you also have to look within yourself, look within your own heart, and ask yourself, what are your intentions for being a mother? Like, what is it that you really want? Do you really want to be a mother to a child, or do you want to experience pregnancy? Do you just want to have the belly so that you can take your maternity photos and all of these things that we see, right? That happen outside of us. Check yourself, because sometimes what we say we want isn't really aligned with what our intentions are. Like, it's all about intentions, and everything that we say that, you know, everything that we do and everything that we say that we want, what is the intention behind it, you know? And so I just wanted to kind of open up with that. It's something that's I've really been thinking a lot about. I do so much work with women, and we're such layered beings. There's so many different components to us. And so often, you know, we impose these expectations, you know, on ourselves and on how we're supposed to show up in the world and what we're supposed to do with our lives. And a lot of time, those expectations, we try to fulfill them based on what we think others want for us and for our lives. And hardly ever is it really aligned with what we truly want with our lives. You know, so I challenge you to really sit with yourself, really be honest, and ask yourself, what is it that I want out of my life? And whether that's being a mother, whether that is advancing in your career, like whatever it is that your goals are, I want you to reevaluate them and ask yourself, why do I have this goal? Why have I set this up as something that I want to achieve or accomplish? Is this something that I really want? Or is this something that someone else has put upon me? And so I feel incumbent upon them to now make this happen because it's what they want for me, you know. And right now we're in, you know, Q2 of this year. We're in the second quarter. We're about to step into the third quarter. So this is really the perfect time to start reevaluating the goals that you've set for yourself back in January and see where you are, right? And if you haven't made any movement on some of your goals, then it's really likely that those goals that you set are not really goals that you're passionate about. I bet that if you really dissect them and you look at them for what they are, they might be goals that other people have set for you, and for whatever reason you've internalized as having to accomplish them. But if you haven't moved on them and we're already in May, it is very likely that you have no desire to pursue that goal. So, honey, scratch that goal off your list. Don't even waste any more time looking at it, thinking about it, trying to figure out how you're going to get started. If it's not something that you're passionate about, you have got to let it go. Now, when you continue to look down your list, if you've started to work on other goals, if you've accomplished certain things, celebrate those wins. Celebrate even the small wins, the small actions that you have taken to get yourself closer to that bigger goal, because no big goal, you know, is accomplished all of a sudden. It is consistent action that you take every single day. It's the small steps that really lead to those big strides, you know. And if you find that you're struggling with some goals, that there are goals on there that you really want to accomplish, but for whatever reason, you haven't gotten there yet, this might be a great time to consider joining my Power Up cohort. This is a very intention-based group coaching that I do. I only work with 5 women at a time because I believe the smaller the group, the more powerful the connections are. You get to know each other on a more intimate level. Often we allow ourselves to become more vulnerable in a smaller group setting than when there's, you know, a lot of women in the group, because we don't feel safe in the space. So I'm really intentional with my group coaching cohorts. And also for me, it's really difficult to manage when there are a lot of women, because I really want to be able to spend time with each woman, helping them navigate through whatever blockage it is that they have and whatever's preventing them from really stepping, you know, forward. You know, so if you're ready to power up your purpose, your passion, your potential, head over to my website, iamnancyruffin.com, click on the shop tab, and you will see the Power Up cohort there. It'll give you a breakdown of exactly what the cohort is, what it includes, the different topics that we will be focusing on every week. It's a 4-week cohort. It's for an hour and a half, and we're gonna be digging deep, you know? And so if you really need to dig through some stuff and really understand what has been holding you back, this might be the group for you. And the women that I've worked with in the past have all found it to be extremely valuable, really helpful for them. And, you know, for me, I get invested, you know, in each and every woman, because I want to see you win. And I really want to see you break through everything that has been holding you back. I want to see you set yourself up for success. But in order for you to do that, you have to be clear on what your goals are. You have to understand what your end game is. And we work through all of that, you know, and you have to really start making a plan, and not just making the plan, but you have to follow through, right? You have to make a plan for how you're going to complete each step. You have to identify what is it that you need to do. Who can help you accomplish some of these goals? Because so often we feel like we have to do things by ourselves. And because we're not used to asking for help, we don't. But you have to break out of that. If you know that you're someone that struggles with asking for help, then you have to ask yourself, why do I struggle, right? Why do you believe that asking for help makes you seem weak, right? Because that is really the underlying belief there, that if you ask for help, it somehow means that you can't do it on your own, that you're not strong enough, right? That you're not capable enough. But you know what the truth is? That we all need help at one point or another. Like, none of us can do it on our own. And so you have to start to break through that idea that you have to do it all alone, all the time. You don't. And so this is some of the things that we work through in the cohort. And I will tell you that for so many women, it has really been the breakthrough that they needed. I just wanted to kind of just inform you that this is an option for you if you are someone who is really looking to kind of push forward. So I wanted to talk also. Last week I was on Clubhouse and I happened to just fall upon this conversation with world-renowned motivational speaker Les Brown. He has this club on Clubhouse every Monday. I believe it's from 12 to 2, and he's just on there, like, just sharing free game and allowing people to come in and to ask him questions. And so y'all know that your girl had to take advantage of that opportunity, only because it's like Clubhouse has made accessibility to some of these people so easy. Right. And I'm always thinking ahead. And I was like, well, if I jump on this, you know, if I get involved in this conversation, maybe I can ask him a question and it'll be like I am, you know, interviewing him a little bit. So I was able to ask him a question. We were talking about purpose, you know, and that's really what I want to talk about on this week's podcast, because so often we feel that purpose is this thing outside of us. It's this thing that we have to find. It's this thing that we have to look for. And the thing is that purpose is not outside of us. Purpose is within us. And I'm going to get more into that. I also did an IG live where I talked about this, and I'm going to talk about it in the second segment where, you know, I say purpose is within you. Your purpose is already predestined. Before you were even born, God had a purpose for you. But back to Les Brown and the Clubhouse conversation, I asked him a question, you know, for those individuals who find themselves on their purpose journey, where they're starting to walk the walk and they encounter obstacles, they encounter self-doubt, they start getting in their own way because they're believing that they're not qualified enough, they're not good enough. I asked him, how do you break through that? How do you get past the not enough syndrome? And so that one simple question, he responded with a 6-minute reply, and I wanted to share it on the podcast because he shared so many gems that I feel are going to bring you value. So before we break for the second segment, I'm going to share Les Brown's response. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then I'm going to talk to you about how your purpose is already within you. You have nothing to do but sit still listen and pay attention to where God is calling you. So here we go.
Me, Mr. Les Brown, John Leslie, I've really been enjoying this conversation. I love this topic centered around power, positivity, and purpose. I myself am the author of the book, Live on Purpose. So purpose is something that I'm really passionate about. And I talk a lot about purpose because I believe that purpose is what we were meant to do, right? And so when we combine our God-given talents with what we're great at, and also when we're doing what we love, that's when we're stepping into our purpose. We're using what God has given us to bless other people. That's really what it's about. It's about being of service. And it's something, Les, that you talk a lot about. And even in this conversation, you've been talking about, you know, being a servant leader. And so one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, you know, oftentimes when we're walking in our purpose, when we're answering the call on our life, you know, when we find ourselves in those moments of wilderness where we feel like we can't go on, we develop this mindset of I can't or I'm not enough. And, you know, and we allow ourselves to kind of get in our own way. What advice would you give to someone who is starting to walk in their purpose, but is encountering those moments where they're not believing enough in themselves? How do we overcome the not enough syndrome?
I am so glad you asked that question, because all of us have our moments in the Garden of Gethsemane. When my best friend died, I'd never seen anybody die before. When my mother died, as I was holding her hands. When I went through a divorce from someone that I loved very much, I felt I shouldn't speak anymore because I'm a fraud. How can I teach people how to become successful? And being successful is not just about owning a business or making a lot of money. Being successful is a holistic approach. It's about family. It's about how you show up in life. It's about social contribution. And so a period of time, I parked because on top of that, I was diagnosed with cancer. And my son, he came up with the answer for what you asked. He came into my room. The shades were down. He asked me, are you going to die? I said, John Leslie, all of us are going to die one day. He said, but is this cancer going to kill you? And I asked him, why are you asking me that? Because I don't see my father. I don't hear motivational messages coming out of your room. The shades are down. You're quiet. You're in the dark. Where is my father? And he knows that I believe in life is a fight for territory. And once you start fighting for what you want, what you don't want will automatically take over. And life did not be senseless. And I did not the fight out of me. And it dropped me to my knees and I fell forward. But when he asked me, are you going to die? That question made me to roll over. And I teach, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back. Because if you can look up, you can get up. And it made me get back up again. And I started listening to positive things. I said earlier, what you listen to, you turn into. And I started listening even to myself because I was a different person. I felt like I should have been able to make a relationship work. It takes two to make a relationship work, but it only takes one to destroy it. And so when I looked at myself, I had to work on myself, and I had to go within, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And when they commanded of Jesus, when the kingdom of God shall come, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. They shall say, it's neither lo there, a lo here. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And listen to me closely. The kingdom is voice activated. So we connect with our power and able to have a positive perspective by inundating our minds with positive messages. And I fed myself positive messages over and over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith not tested can't be trusted. And I was able to pull the shades up and come out of the room. And my son got to see the man that he's always known his father to be. But for a moment, I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was a challenging experience. It was not quick. It's a process. But I'm back.
Wow. That was an incredible story. Thank you so much. So many gems shared in that. And it just goes to show once again why you are the best, Mr. Brown.
Hello, my name is Avery. You are listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show. Make sure to subscribe and leave a comment if you're new. Hope you enjoy the show.
How good was Les Brown's reply to my question? What I really loved most about his transparency was how it displays that no matter how successful one is, no matter what is going great in somebody's life, every single one of us encounters moments of pain, of suffering, of despair, of self-doubt, like all of us. All of us experience that. No one in this world is immune from suffering. Even when it seems like everything else in our lives is going perfectly, we can have, you know, a fat bank account. We can live in a beautiful home. We can, you know, fill our homes with beautiful things and spend money and go on vacations, and we can do all of these things, right? But none of that can protect us from the human experience. None of that can protect us from death or from the loss of a loved one. And when we find ourselves in those moments of despair, even the most successful person can doubt themselves, can doubt their calling, can doubt their purpose, can ask themselves, you know, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And what I really loved about Les's response is that it was his son that helped him answer the question, right? It was his son that challenged him to remember who he was, who God called him to be, who God created him to be. And sometimes we need those people in our lives to remind us of that when we find ourselves, you know, at the bottom, when it feels like we can't climb back up, when we feel like, damn, like God, like, why are you putting me through this? Right? Sometimes what God is putting us through is the very thing that he's using to build us back up. So it's not a question of why me, God? It's us taking that situation and asking God, how are you trying to build me up through this experience, Lord? What lesson is there for me in this season of my life? And so I wanted to talk a little bit about purpose. One, because it's what I do, it's what I'm passionate about. But also, this past week, I have been meditating on, you know, on Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, right? It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is the Lord speaking directly to Jeremiah, right? And he's saying to Jeremiah that before you were even a thought, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, I already had a purpose for your life. He had already knew what he was creating Jeremiah to do. And this applies to all of God's children. For all of us who follow Jesus, for all of us who live our lives for the Lord, he has already established a purpose for your life. And I want to dig a little bit into this Bible verse, because I feel that it's so important. I feel that we can apply it to so many different areas of our lives, especially the moments when we doubt ourselves, the moments where we think we weren't meant to do anything, where we're struggling to find out what that purpose is. You don't have to look for purpose outside of you. Let me just say that right now. Purpose does not exist outside of you. It's not something that you can go out there and find. You have to sit with yourself and with God and ask him to reveal what your purpose is. For he created your purpose before he created you. And he says it right in this scripture, right? And in the first part of the scripture where he says, to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, right? That first part, even though he's speaking to Jeremiah, he's speaking to you and me as well. God is revealing that when he creates a person, when he created me, when he created you, it was from a plan that he had already developed before he began forming us in the womb. He not only knew what he was going to make, he actually knew us as if we had already been made. He knew what we were going to look like. He knew what our wiring was going to be. He knew what our personality was going to be, what our gifts were, our talents. He knew how tall we were going to be. He knew every single thing about us, our physical attributes, like everything. He knew that. He knew that before we were born. He had to know that, right? Because how would he know how to create us if he didn't already have this plan for us? And this goes, for anybody that's listening who is a creator, right? Before you create something, you already know what you want that creation to be. For artists, they know what colors they're going to use. They know, what the design is going to look like. And once they know all that, that's when they start creating, right? So the same is true. Like, God is the ultimate creator. So he already knows what he's planning to create before he creates it, right? So he plans us. He creates us according to his purposes for us and his plans to glorify himself by our lives. Okay, so we know what that means. That means even the bad things that we are going to experience are already part of his plan. Before he created us, he already knows what our trials are, what our struggles are going to be, what the roadblocks are going to be that we encounter. But he knows that and he plans it because he knows that as we overcome these things with him beside us, with him guiding us, with his help, we're going to overcome. And he's going to use those very things as the things that we use to glorify his name, so that when we overcome, we can say it was God that got me through that. Right? How many things have you already experienced in your life? Struggles, moments of despair that you, when you were going through those moments, you didn't know how you were going to get past it. But somehow you did, right? You got through it because it was God's plan. It was God's will. And he never forsaked you. He was right there with you, carrying you through, so that once you crossed that bridge, you could glorify his name and say, I got through that situation because of God. So he already knows. He already knows what we're going to encounter once we arrive on earth. And so he creates us exactly how he wants us, right? And then when we finally come to know him through our journey, it's really comforting that, you know, that we really understand this truth more and more. And the more you get to know God, the more God is going to reveal to you, right? So you don't have to look outside of you. You don't have to look at other people and ask God, why didn't you make me like so-and-so? Why didn't you give me their gifts? Why don't I have their lives? Once you understand that God created you specifically for a purpose, for something that only you yourself could accomplish through the gifts and talents that he has given you, oh my God, that's when you are going to really step into your power and soar. But you're never going to get there if you're continuously looking outside of yourself and looking at what everybody else around you is doing. If God wanted you to be like that person, he would have created you as that person. If God wanted you to have those gifts, he would have given you those gifts, but he didn't. God gave you your gifts. God created you the way that he created you because you are special. You are one of one. There's no one else in this world that exists like you. That's what makes you special. That is where your magic is. You have to start looking at yourself and saying, thank you, God. Thank you for creating me the way that you created me, my flaws and all. Because you know what? Those flaws are going to be the very thing that God uses to propel you. Right? So it's not just your gifts and talents, but it's also those areas that are going to need further development. Right? Like nobody is perfect. But once you recognize what your weaknesses are, then you can identify the areas that you can use to really propel you. So stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. Right? You don't want to be like anybody else. And if God wanted you to be like that person, he would have created you like them. But you are his masterpiece. And, you know, I get so excited, you know, talking about this because like Jeremiah was set apart, you have been set apart. I have been set apart. And so often what happens is that we talk ourselves out of what we're supposed to do because we don't feel like we're qualified enough, right? We might look and we might see that God is calling us to step into something, he's guiding us into something, and we immediately start saying, there's no way I can do that. I don't have that skill. I don't have what it takes, right? And so I want to talk a little bit about Jeremiah and who Jeremiah was, right? When God revealed himself to Jeremiah, Jeremiah was young. Scripture, commentary, scholars, they say that Jeremiah was about 20 years old when he was called and he received this commission to be a prophet of God, right? So when God is speaking to him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, when God is telling him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Like God is telling him all of these things. I have already appointed you. Before you were born, I already said, this is what you are going to do. This is who you're going to be. And if we continue to read scripture, if we go to verse 6, Jeremiah replies to the Lord, I don't know how to speak. There's no way I could be a prophet. I don't have the words. And not only don't I have the words, but I'm too young. I'm not even experienced enough to go out into the world and be a prophet of God. But then you know what God says to him in verse 7? God tells him, don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. and will rescue you, declares the Lord. That's verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. God is telling Jeremiah, I'm with you. So it doesn't matter if you feel you don't have the words, you're going to say what I command you to say. Right? And verse 9 continues to say, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Okay, God touched his lips and said, I have given you the words. So I'm not even trying to hear what you're saying. I don't want to hear that you don't have the words. I don't want to hear that you're too young. When I have called you to something, all you have to do is be obedient and move and trust that I, the Lord, am going to give you everything that you need to live out my will and my purpose for your life. And the same way that it was true for Jeremiah, it's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for all of us. So you don't have to know the how, you don't have to know the when, you don't have to know any of that. If God calls you to it, the only thing you have to do is obey. So that thing within you, that little voice, that little desire, whatever it is that you've been talking yourself out of, let me tell you, you better stop talking yourself out of what God is calling you to do. You better listen. You better obey. You better answer that call, because God is not going to, he's going to keep coming, right? And you're never going to be happy or feel fulfilled in anything else that you do, because you know why? Because that's not why God created you. God did not create you to go out into the world and do what you want to do. God created you to be in this world to do what he wants you to do, to fulfill his purpose for your life. So you got to stop running from God. You got to stop running from what he is calling you to do. You have to let go whatever idea that you have implanted in your brain about what your life is supposed to be. Your life is what God tells you your life is. And we all get there eventually if we pause, if we start to sit still, if we start to seek God and start to listen to his word, he is going to reveal to you the exact calling on your life. And so I remember when I was going through my own motherhood journey, when I was struggling to get pregnant, I will tell you that I was the most broken I had ever been. I was not a good person. And it was because I was projecting out into the world what was happening within me. I felt so broken because I couldn't have children. I was jealous of other women who I saw were having kids and were being blessed with the gift of motherhood. I used to curse drug addicts and crackheads and all these women that I would see on the news that would be blessed with children who would abandon them and leave them in garbage, you know, cans to die, and all these horrible stories that we hear on the news of these children being mistreated. Like, I used to be like, you know, these are the people that God is blessing with children, and here I am, a woman who is ready to devote her whole life to loving and caring a child, and God, you're forsaking me? Oh, I was so angry at God. I was so angry at God because I was like, wow, what God would do that? And it was a journey. And then, you know, I had a lot of internal healing to do. I had to work on myself. I had to work on my heart. And I had to work on my intentions. And when I started to reconnect with my Lord and Savior, when I had decided that I was going to let go of my own selfish desire of why I wanted to be a mother and just give it all to God, that was when it happened. And so I recognized that God had always a plan for my life, even when I couldn't see it. He knew the desires of my heart. And even though I felt like he was forsaking me for such a long time, even though I felt that I would never hear the word mommy uttered from a child's lips, that no soul would choose my body to be its first home, God knew. God knew what his plan was for me. God knew that he wasn't going to only bless me with one child. He was going to bless me with two. Because at that time, I wasn't even thinking about having two children. Okay? I just wanted God to bless me with one child. But you know what God said? Because God is almighty. He's like, I'm not just going to give you one child. I'm going to give you two. We just have to learn to pay attention. We have to learn to sit still. We have to recognize that our purpose is already within us, and that if we let go of our own selfish desires to control everything in our lives, that God will make it happen. God will reveal it to us. And you know what's happening with me? The more aligned I get with God, the more obedient I am to him and his will for my life, the more I am stepping into my purpose. All of the work that I've done, from my writing, from my poetry, even from this podcast, these different platforms that have allowed me to build my confidence, to develop my voice, to really be out there in a way that allows me to speak to people. None of this that I've done these past 10 years had anything to do with writing books, with even this podcast. All of this has been preparing me to preach the word of God. And I said it on the last episode, and I'm going to say it again, because the more that I say it, the more I'm being called to it. And the more comfortable I'm becoming in being loud and bold with God's purpose for my life. I'm not embarrassed to say that I am a follower of Christ. I'm not embarrassed to be bold about my faith. And I know that there's so many people who get turned off by individuals who preach the word of God. But you know what? We can't let that stop us. God is calling us to build his kingdom. And if we're not going to be out there and be bold, how are we going to bring people back to God? How are we going to reach those lost souls? Someone has to be preaching about God. Someone has to be telling the non-believers all of the great things that God has done in our lives so that they can too become believers. That is what we are called to do. We are called to build God's kingdom. We're kingdom builders. We are kingdom builders. And I am not embarrassed to say it. And I'm just grateful to have been chosen. Not only am I grateful to have been chosen, I'm grateful that, like Jeremiah, God has given me the words. God has touched my lips and said, I've given you the words. Because I will tell you that I struggle so much with how to deliver God's words, because I am not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I didn't go to theology school. I haven't even completely read the Bible. But you know what? I am committed. And I am intentional, and I am giving my all to really not just reading scripture, but studying it, understanding it, and really get out God's message in the way that he would want it. And so I just want to remind you that God has already chosen your purpose. God chooses the purpose before he chooses the person, before he creates the person. He creates the person to fulfill the purpose. That is why you were created. You were not created by mistake. You were not just this, they just created you just to create you for no reason, just so that you could go exist in the world. No, you were intentionally created by God for a specific reason. You have to now allow yourself and allow God to reveal that purpose to you. And don't run from it. It might scare you at first. It will. And I'm saying, because this has scared me. I don't even feel qualified. But you know what? You know what I'm learning? That God doesn't care about qualification because he doesn't call the qualified, right? He qualifies the called. Just like Jeremiah didn't think he was qualified, just like he thought he was too young, like he thought he didn't have the words. God says, I don't care what you think. I'm going to give you the words. And all you got to do is go out there and do what I command you to do. And so I just want to remind you that be assured that God has a plan for your life. God knew you before you were born. God has scheduled every single day of your life, from your birthday to the day that you died and every single thing in between. God has already mapped it out. And like Jeremiah wasn't a prophet because of his ancestry, because of his bloodline. He didn't go to school to learn how to become a prophet. No, he was a prophet because that was who God appointed him to be. That was who God called him to be. That was the reason God created him. That was the purpose, right? So despite doubting his own ability to speak, and even though he was concerned about being young and his age, Jeremiah had a calling on his life, which was given to him by divine revelation. And you know what revelation is? Revelation is like that aha moment that Oprah talks often about. But you only get that aha moment when you are intentionally being quiet and sitting in silence. And asking God, show me God, where it is that you want me to move. Show me what it is I'm supposed to be doing. You can't go out in the world with your own intentions thinking, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep moving from thing to thing to thing to thing, and you're never going to find fulfillment. So you got to pause. You have to stop. You have to really seek God. And when you seek God, he will reveal your purpose to you. And so with that, I will leave you. I hope that you were blessed by this week's message. If you were, and if you were encouraged, I ask you to please share this. You never know who is going to be blessed. You never know who this message is entitled, is supposed to reach, right? So just share it, speak about it, and tune in next week for another episode of The Nancy Ruffin Show. And until next time, mi gente, go out there, crush your goals, be intentional, seek God, and ask him to reveal your purpose to you.
Thank you for listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show. I hope you enjoyed spending your time. Bye.